Now we'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25, the recitation will be verses 1 through 13. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man named Maon, whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and go meet Nabal and greet him in my name." And thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David. When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men who come from where I do not know?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword, and about 400 men went up with after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. That is all. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you and to sing songs of praise to you. Thank you that everybody has been able to gather here today to worship you. We know that this church is very blessed and there are many people attending. We know that before the creation of the world, Lord, you have known us. You have chosen us. And you have allowed us to gather here to worship you. We know that we were sinners, but because of your blessed selection, we have been able to be freed and saved. Allow us, Lord, to be able to look up to you today and to have peace. We thank you for this time of worship and pray that it be a blessed time. Please watch over Pastor Joey Anjiki as he speaks this morning. We have great expectations. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today we're going to be hearing a word from God based on the passage that was read just a moment ago. In the 1800s in the U.S., there was a person by the name of John Wilkes Booth who was a stage actor. There was a time, though, when he created such a problem, though, that was very serious. The whole country noted. On April 1865, at the Ford Theater stands, he snuck in and he shot at the president, who was the president at that time. That president was President Lincoln, and he was assassinated. A few weeks later, there was Lincoln's son by the name of Robert Todd. Lincoln was walking along the train tracks, and he actually fell, or walking on the train platform, and he fell into the tracks, and there was this man who just was passing by who saved him. And because of this man, Robert was saved. And the person who saved Lincoln's son was a person by the name of Edward Thomas Booth. And this was a relative of John Wilkes Booth, who had shot President Lincoln just weeks before. In other words, the younger brother was the one who shot President Lincoln, and the older brother was the one that saved President Lincoln's son. These two brothers would have grown up in the same household, but had led very different lives with different results. In today's passage, we see people who are in a very close relationship but have very contrasting characters. And this is Abigail and Nabal. It says that Nabal was a very affluent man, and Abigail was his wife. And today we're going to look specifically at these two people. First, let's look a little bit at the background of today's passage. In chapter 25, it talks about first how Samuel died, and he was a prophet. For David, this would have been a very difficult thing to accept, as he looked up to Samuel for many things. So David was now in a very unstable state. So it seems that he repented for a while and didn't take after David, but he then was taking 600 men to live out in the wilderness. And David went to Nabal to get supplies for the 600 men he had with him. In today's a passage we can learn from the sermon title of Be Like Abigail, Not Nabal, looking at three main points. The first point today is a prideful person and a humble person. David went to get food for his men in the wilderness, and this would have been something that would have been right to do because David's men needed it. And to ask Nabal for it, that would have been a righteous thing to do because they had helped Nabal in the past. So at that time, it would have been something appropriate to do to ask such a person for supplies. But how is it that Nabal replied? Looking at verses 10 and 11, it says, "And Nabal answered David's servants, 'Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days breaking away from their masters.'" So here he's just trying to deny it, doesn't even know who David is. "Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men who come from where I do not know?" In other words, Nabal was complaining about who this David person was and complaining about and denying the request of David. The meaning of the name Nabal is a foolish person. You can't believe that a person would give such a child that name, but in the Bible, there's a lot of people who did such things. For example, Japheth, which was the name given to a child as well. It meant pain. So it's possible that Nabal was just a nickname, but we're not sure. So then we see what exactly David does in response to this. In response to having possessions, the Bible states that all we have is given to us by God, and it is to be used for God's glory and used in a righteous manner. And that's the message from the Bible about possessions. However, Nabal saw things that he had all for himself. He saw it that he didn't have to be grateful for it or share it with his servants as well. He was very self-centered and thought the world revolved around him, it seems. He had a very prideful type of attitude, and people with such an attitude are very far from God. There was a famous teacher who told the disciples that blessing is something that is a truth is something that's just like a stone on the ground. And the disciples asked, you know, why would people not be able to find truth if it's just a pebble on the ground? And the teacher said that it's because they have to bend down to pick it up. In other words, many people don't want to become humble. They don't want to, in order to find truth. And you can learn from that kind of concept of finding truth from God. Many people are very difficult, find it difficult to humble themselves before the true God. If it is true that everything you have is done by your, is achieved by your efforts and for your benefit, and you have that type of attitude, it'll be very difficult to come to find God. Nabal had no intent of being able to share with others or to seek the truth. In an opposite of what Nabal was and a character was Abigail. You would wonder why Abigail would marry somebody like Nabal. Was she someone who just liked guys like that? In it's possibly like some common day TV show or drama. But it's possible that that wasn't the case, that she chose him as a husband, because in those days, marriage was not determined by the love between two people, but rather likely it was an arranged marriage. As she comes on the scene, we can see in today's passage what she thinks of possessions and money. And we can also see what her opinion of was about David and what Nabal had told David's men. She decides to actually help David. And you can see also how David was very unstable due to Samuel dying and how he actually made the same mistake Saul did earlier in his life. Looking at verse 13, and David said to his men, every man strap on his sword, and every man of them strapped on their sword. David also strapped on his sword. And this was a wrong decision David made here. David was not happy with what had happened, and he won and became very unstable. However, one of the people of David went to consult Abigail about this situation. And this would have been someone who would have known Abigail in a good way, and then this way was able to provide help. He knew that consulting Nabal would be worthless, but if he consulted Abigail, there was possibly a chance to resolve this. Abigail, unlike Nabal, decided to take a different approach and accepted what David was asking for and prepared it. Verse 18, Abigail lost no time. She took 100 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on the donkeys. If you read what happens next, you can see how she really was a person who believed in God, and that all of the possessions that she had the responsibility of taking care of. So that is why she was able to quickly let go of the possessions for David, unlike Nabal. She knew that all of the provision from God was something that needed to be used in a way that honored God, and she did so, it seems, on a daily basis in her life. There's a baseball player by the name of Ohtani who is very successful right now with an amazing record that it's impossible. Nobody will be able to break his records. People who don't know baseball are not don't really who people who don't know baseball are trying to like understand what this record really means. So it's like saying there's a soccer player who gets goals, scores goals, or just but if you don't know soccer, then you know what I'm saying. If you think of track, perhaps Ohtani would be such as a person who, after running 100 meters, getting the gold medal, then ran a marathon and got a gold medal. So it's just trying to explain that he's very successful with what he's doing right now. And they're doing the final competition now. He's a member of the Dodgers team. And actually, in 2002, as well as in 1988, that team was a world champion. And there was a very good pitcher at that time. His name was Hershiser, or Oriel Hershiser. He was a very strong Christian as well, and he would often give testimony of his faith. After pitching very well, he would tell the media that he was very thankful to God for giving him his shoulder. When he was off-season, he would often give talks and do a lot of welfare work as well. There is also a lot of major leaguers today that are similar as to him, and that they are using their wealth and their talents to be able to glorify God and help people as well. And in this way, it's very exciting to see them, how they are not overtaken by their possessions, but rather control them well. So we are to be not like Nabal, but like Abigail, and be very clever with what God has given us. Looking at 1 Timothy, verse 6:17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that isn't truly life." Let's look at the second point. A person who destroys peace and a person who creates peace. Nabal was able to denied David, and in that way he actually endangered his whole family. He was the person who was creating an unpeaceful situation. However, Abigail was the person who was creating a peaceful situation. When she heard that David would be coming after her family because of what Nabal said, she decided not to run away, although she could have. Instead, she wanted to protect her family and the servants. And so she decided to talk to David and help him and to avoid the situation. She goes before David in a humble manner and apologizes for what her husband had done. To see how Abigail approached David is something that you can really learn a lot from. In verse 25, it says, "May the Lord pay no attention to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name, fool, and folly goes with him." You can see that this is a really strong statement. She's talking about her husband here. But this was something that was in wisdom that she said, because she wanted to humble herself and in this way actually protect him and create an instance in which David would be more willing to listen. She continues, "Please forgive your servant's offense, for the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live." Here, she says that the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty. In other words, she is convinced that David truly will be king. And because of that, then she doesn't want to have anything as baggage in his past. Looking at verse 29, "Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as far from the pocket of a sling." This also is a good step in aspects of wisdom for her. And she's just reminding him that God is the one who can actually provide revenge. We are to let God be the one to get revenge on things and not take revenge ourselves. And it seems like this is how God was speaking to her. Through what Abigail did, God actually did get revenge. David said to Abigail, "Praise be to you, the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from the bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak." So because of her intercession and apology, David was able to avoid making a bad mistake and turn back to God. Abigail truly was a person who was a peace creator. We too can be like Abigail and create peace in the various places we are. Using our abilities, we actually can do something that is more than what we can imagine. By following God and using His impact, we can do something very amazing. We need to be like Abigail in the various places God has us to be able to allow people to reach God and to get to know Him, and that we can have them, other people, turn their hearts to God. And this truly would be a wonderful thing to happen. Please allow me to tell one person's testimony. He's a Scottish person by the name of Ernest Gordon. In his 20s, in the World War II, he was participating in the war. He actually was in Burma and taken as a prisoner of war by the Japanese people. The captives took, he was taken to a detention center, which is like just a death sentence. All the people there had to work very hard in that jungle area, and they were weakened by the intense sunlight. He would just listen to the groans of the dying prisoners and smell of death when he returned each night to the detention center. He had no health, and just realized that he was going to die. In the detention center, there was problems amongst the prisoners as well. People would steal from their dying companions, and they would fight for leftovers, and there's just people going against each other in that area. It was just like living in hell. And he realized that if that situation was going to continue, he'd rather just die, and death was something he was actually looking forward to. At that time, something amazing happened, though. There were two soldiers that were sent to this detention center, and these soldiers had a heart full of hope and joy. Even though they were sick themselves, they helped take care of the other soldiers. They cleaned their wounds and helped share their food with others. Gordon as well was helped by them and was able to regain his strength and regain his dignity as well. These two soldiers were full of love and grace, and their greatly impacted the soldiers around them. These soldiers who were taking and stealing from each other and sick were now being cured of their illnesses and being changed, being able to be in a more healthy state. These two soldiers were very devout Christians, and they were the hands and feet of God, working even in a very dark place to create peace. These two Christians actually changed what was going on there and had started teaching the Bible in the detention center. This changed Gordon as it greatly impacted him. And through this, he gained faith in God. And after the war, he went to Princeton University, where he was used as the head chaplain for many years. To believe in God and to follow him, it means that you do have a lot of impact and influence on others. As the two soldiers in this detention center and as Abigail in the Bible, we too can be people who can create peace. Let's look at the final point today: eternal destruction and eternal life. Abigail was working to help David. And what was Nabal doing at that time? It says in verse 36 that when Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk, so she told him nothing until daybreak. That's a huge contrast, isn't it? Abigail was risking her life to go help David and his men, and Nabal was having a banquet. And he just never changes character. Learning from Nabal and his stance, we can see how he denied God and lived a very self-centered life. He didn't even realize that he was on the verge of death. And that is exactly what happened. Verses 37 and 38. Then in the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. After 10 days, God struck him, and he died. People who are facing destruction if they deny God. And that is exactly what happened to Nabal here. However, what happened to Abigail after this? She actually became David's wife. Verse 42, and Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her five young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. In today's passage, we can see how Abigail's actions were something that are in similarity to Jesus' intercession for us to God. There's also another example that Abigail gives us. She was taken as the wife of David, and that also shows us and reminds us how we, the church, will be the bride of Christ when Jesus returns. So she's an example of this in that way as well. In the time of the Bible, the bride and groom would live separately until the time of the wedding. And it's like right now, we are also in that same time period of engagement, and we will one day be the bride of Christ. People who belong, who don't believe in Jesus will meet eternal destruction, but those of us who do believe in Jesus Christ will be headed toward eternal life, and we can be reminded of that from Abigail today. Today we've looked at Nabal and Abigail and how they had contrasting lives and eternal destinations. We too can become humble and very wise with what God has given us. We can be people who do not destroy peace, but rather create it. And not like Nabal, headed for destruction, we can believe in Jesus Christ and know that at the end of the world, we will be taken as the bride of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be able to worship you today. Today we looked at Abigail and Nabal and how they led very contrasting lives, even though they were husband and wife. We too can be reminded not to become prideful, but to rather be humble and use what God has given us for His glory in a wise manner. We can be people who create peace and not destroy it in the places that we are placed. We can believe in God and in this way avoid eternal destruction and have eternal life. We ask that in this coming week that you will be able to provide us with joy to be able to serve you and testify of you where we are. We thank you for this opportunity, praying in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this week, and forevermore. Amen.